I'm just finished a study using vitamin A injection in cow or calves or neonatal calves. And we saw that the vitamin A injection in pregnant cows around 250 days of gestation increased a lot the intramuscular fat of the offspring.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. bioMérieux is a world leader in the field of diagnostics for more than 60 years. From pathogen detection to genomics and data applications, bioMérieux helps beef industrials going beyond the test results to help control your food safety and process risks. Virbac, committed to growth. For information, visit vet-us.virbac.com/cattle or see your Virbac representative. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Healthy Farms by Bioverse, your manure management experts. Contact us for time and labor-saving solutions. Mycotoxins can threaten feed and cattle performance. DSM Firmenich offers a portfolio of solutions to help mitigate the impact of mycotoxins in your feed.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. I am your host, Brandy Buzzard, and it's my pleasure to bring you the latest trends and issues from the best and brightest minds in the beef industry. Today, we're joined by Dr. Marcio Lidera. Dr. Lidera earned his master's degree in animal science from the Federal University of Viçosa and his PhD in animal nutrition from the Federal University of Minas Gerais in Brazil. He also completed a postdoc at Purdue University and is currently a professor at the Federal University of Lavras. I'm really looking forward to speaking with him and having a wonderful conversation about beef nutrition, fetal programming, and much more. So welcome to the podcast, Dr. Lidera. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you for the invitation. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. I know that you are in Brazil currently, and so I don't think we have much of a time difference. I think that we line up Kansas and Brazil are pretty similar. Maybe you're an hour ahead.
Eastern time or just 1 hour in advance?
Just 1 hour. So I have had guests who had to get up at 5 a.m. to do the podcast. So I'm glad that we were able to fit your schedule a little bit more conveniently. But to start up with, if you could just bring us up to speed on your background and your career, how you got started in the beef industry, that would be really great. I just skimmed the surface of my bio there, but I would love to know more and learn more about you. So if you just feel free to share that with us.
Well, my grandfather was a farmer. He produced dairy cattle and also some beef cattle. I decided to do animal science at the Federal University of Viçosa because of that. I love genetics, but after I started the university, genetics was not my favorite subject, and I moved to nutrition. And I loved animal nutrition. When I was a kid, I used to go to the farm every vacation and ride horses, do a lot of things. And so I love the cattle, farms, horses, and I love beef. The best meal at all, right?
Absolutely. Well, that's great. So I know that you do research there at the university and that you focus quite a bit on fetal programming. So could you talk just a little bit about your research at the university and maybe some of what you've done in your past career as well?
Yes, I'm carrying out research in, I would say, two areas of the beef quality. One is in fetal programming. When we can supplement the cows more protein during the dry season here in Brazil. In Brazil, we have during May until September, October, which is all winter in the mid part of Brazil. We have a dry season. The drought is very hard. So the pasture conditions is terrible. Very poor, less than 4% of crude protein in the grasses. And so our pregnant cows are in restriction nutrition. Mm-hmm. So we're running some studies evaluating how we could supplement cows and see the effects of the supplementation in the offsprings, if they will increase myogenesis, adipogenesis, increase performance in the feedlot, and also increase intramuscular fats. This is one of my studies area with fetal programming, but also I'm working with nutrition in feedlot, trying to improve the beef quality and improve intramuscular fat, mm-hmm. marbling quality grade of the beef. We are using different technologies as try to control rumen pH. We know that if you have a drop in rumen pH, we are going to change the biohydrogenation, fatty acid biohydrogenation in the rumen. And some isomers of fatty acids, for instance, transthenesis 12 CLA can reduce the expression of some transcription factors that they are very important for lipogenesis. So I'm working in fetal programming and also how nutrition affects beef quality in the feedlot phase.
So you mentioned intramuscular fat and how that plays a role in fetal programming and supplementation, but you also mentioned the feedlot. So have you done, are you doing research or done research on fetal programming, how that manifests in the feedlot phase, and just kind of followed that throughout?
Yes, we started our studies during the cow-calf operation, and then we finished the animals in the feedlot, and we're seeing, for example, I'm just finished a study using vitamin A injection in cow or calves or neonatal calves. And we saw that the vitamin A injection in pregnant cows around 250 days of gestation increased a lot the intramuscular fat of the offspring when we finished the animals in the feedlot. We also did a study in collaboration with Dr. Mingdu from Washington State University. And in that study, we use the vitamin A just in the neonatal calves. And we also increase the intramuscular fat. In the first study, injecting vitamin A in the neonatal calves, we could change the quality grade of the steers from select to choice.
Oh, wow.
And the best thing is a very cheap technique, because here in Brazil, the vitamin A would cost less than 10 reals, would say less than $2 mm-hmm. each injection.
Right.
So it's very good. Here in Brazil, we work not with the purebred Angus or Angus cemento animals, as you do, as you have in the United States. We have a Neloric breed, and also a cross bred in, between Angus and LR, and usually some crossbred steers do not present a high quality marbling.
Right.
So we are looking for how different techniques and how nutrition could increase marbling. We are doing some different studies using, for instance, snaplage. That is a silage with just the ear of the corn. Mm-hmm. And we also saw increasing the lipogenesis, dispersion of lipogenic genes. Particle size of the silage could also affect rumen pH and intramuscular fat. So we're doing a lot of studies trying to evaluate how nutrition can affect expression of genes related in lipogenesis or in adipogenesis and the effect in intramuscular fat.
So just to clarify, just one vitamin A injection given to the like neonatal calf made it go from select to choice. Is that what you said?
One injection.
Wow.
When they born. Dr. Mingdu did the first study and he injected twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In two different doses. And he found also increases in intramuscular fat, mm-hmm. lipogenesis, and then intramuscular fat. In our study, different was we did just one injection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we saw a good effect. And my last study that we finished and we slaughtered the animals in February, we didn't see in that study the effect of the injection in neonatal calves. We increased the dose.
Uh-huh.
The problem, there is a relation, frequency and dose. Because Dr. Mingdu and the Dr. Mingdu studied the high dose didn't have the same effect.
Uh-huh.
And in our study, the high dose didn't bring a good result. But the injection in the cows in this study was pretty good. Increased a lot the intramuscular fat in the steers. Problem, the effect is not good for heifers.
Okay.
We couldn't see any effect of vitamin A in heifers.
Right.
But in steers, it works. Now we need to understand better how it works and about dose, frequency, and it would be better to inject in cows or in neonatal. There is a lot of things to study. We have a gap in about this knowledge.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
So is fetal programming, is that a practice that is that has been well adopted in Brazil?
No, not yet. We are starting to study usually in Brazil. Pregnant cows are in terrible conditions.
Oh.
The farmers they are look at the weaned half steers when they are in the feed a lot, when they are in the finishing phase, and they don't look so good for the cows. They are in the pastures, oh, let's see. And usually in Brazil, because of the draw, most of the herds here, the cows are in poor nutrition condition.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a practice that farmers has a standard to do. So we need to understand more about the effect of fetal programming in our herd here. Because it's expensive, okay?
Yeah.
If you are going to supplement a steer or a weaned calf with 200 kilos, is different than supplement a cow with 500 kilos. They are going to eat more and it's more expensive. So it's not usual in Brazil to do supplementation in our cows. And so the question is, how is the level of the supplementation to have an effect?
Mm-hmm. Right. What level gets an effect so you get the return on investment?
To compare with the cost.
Yeah.
We have some studies in Brazil showing that the supplementation will affect the myogenesis, lipogenesis, and the performance of the animals in the feedlot. But I would say in a supplementation, a little bit more than producers would like to use. In my first study in fetal programming was in 2014 mm-hmm. when I started to working. And we used a small amount of supplementation. Was just 0.1% of body weight.
Oh, okay.
Supplementation, okay. A low amount of supplementation. And we didn't see any effect about performance of the animals in the feedlot and also in intramuscular fat or marble. We saw a very good effect in the reproduction of the cows. Supplemented cows had a better performance in the next breeding season, in the next fixed time AI. But it was not possible to increase performance of the progeny.
Of the calf.
So my conclusion of that study, the low amount of supplementation is not enough. We need to increase the level of supplementation.
More, yeah.
As we are seeing here in other studies, we are doing here at Lavras. Professor Matheus Giombelli is doing other studies with supplementation, and he's found better results with a higher level of supplementation.
So you're looking to find the, you know, the ideal return on investment. Is there any, and forgive me if this is common knowledge, but in Brazil, is there kind of extension where professors like yourself have outreach programs to farmers and ranchers where they can be coached or maybe go to an educational seminar to learn more about it?
Yeah, we have some extension programs. It's not like United States when you have different universities, faculties that are expert in extension. Here in Brazil, usually I'm a researcher here, but I need to do teaching, extension, and research, and I'm not specializing in extension as you have in the United States. So in Brazil, we have different institutions that work more with extension. I can name Embrapa. Embrapa do research and also do extension. And in Brazil, we also do extension, but not the same way that you do in the United States. So we need to organize some conference. We bring producers, but not it's not the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You do a better job in extension than we do.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you for saying that about our extension. I know we've been talking quite a bit about fetal programming, but I know that you also have done a lot of work in feedlot nutrition with your background. And so maybe let's just visit that, you know, in feedlot nutrition, you know, what is affecting marbling? How are, you know, receptive are beef producers in Brazil to that kind of insight on how they can improve their marbling and therefore improve their profits?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Brandy. It's a very good question. A lot of producers don't know exactly what affect intramuscular fat deposition. Actually, in Brazil, high quality beef is, I would say, pretty new. We didn't, actually, so far, we don't pay for quality grade as you pay in the United States.
Oh.
We don't have a official program that we pay for select quality and choice or premium beef. So in Brazil, in general, in our industry, they pay if you have a contract with the packing plant and if you are working with the Angus animals, but it's not an official like you have the USDA quality grade and the packing plant needs to pay the producers. So it's a kind of a more informal programs, and they have some programs specific for the packing plant and the farmers. Okay, so that's one problem that we use it, don't have high quality beef in Brazil. But I would say in the last 10 years, increased a lot the market of high quality beef.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the economy in Brazil become better, inflation reduced, and the people increase the income and they start to look for more for high quality beef, and the market increases. Right now, the high quality beef, the market increases much higher than the regular beef. Okay, so in Brazil, we have two kind of markets. We have a international market. We sell a lot for China. China is our first consumer country. And Europe and Middle East. But for those countries, we don't produce high quality beef.
Mm-hmm.
Just a standard beef. But for internal markets, the high quality beef increased a lot. And so we start to see more feedlots working with high quality animals and to try to produce high quality beef. I don't know if you know, but Angus breed is the number one in cell semen, in semen cell.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah, yes, I understand. Angus is number one in semen sales in Brazil.
Semen sales, yes. Angus is number one in semen sales. And because a lot of producers are crossing the Nelore cows with the Angus,
mm-hmm.
using Angus sires. So we start to see more feedlots using crossbred animals with Angus and Nelore. But we start to see that even if they are using Angus breeds in Nelore cows, in some feedlots, they were not producing high quality beef or select beef or premium. The marbling was not good enough.
Right.
So the hypothesis, we have two hypotheses for that. The first hypothesis is the problem with the cows during gestation. You remember that when I say that our cows, usually they are in restriction nutrition.
Right,
so yeah. So lipogenesis start to happen during the last trimester of gestation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the cows are in poor condition, so even if you are using Angus sires in your cows with high capacity to produce adipocytes and intermuscular fat, if the nutrition of the cows were not enough, you can put in the feedlots in high quality diet, but they will not produce intermuscular fat. So the first problem is during the cow-calf operation. But also in Brazil, we start to have a different type of diet. Our diets start to become more energetic than user in Brazil. I would say that our diet now is pretty similar of the United States diets.
Okay.
The feedlot United yeah. States. But 10 years, 15 years ago, 85%, 90% of concentrating feedlot diet wasn't an user in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
People used to use 70, 75% of concentrate. The energetic level of our diet used to be lower than the United States. Now it's almost the same.
Yeah.
But in this case, we start to have the problem with the rumen pH. And my studies show that rumen pH is very important for intermuscular fat and lipogenesis. Because as I start to say in the beginning of this podcast, when rumen pH drop, you change the biohydrogenation.
Right.
And this biohydrogenation will change a specific transcription factor named STREBF1. This transcription factor, this gene encoded STREBP1C.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about the names, but they are genes and proteins. And STREBP1C protein regulate the novel fat acid synthesis, so lipogenesis. So if you have the rumen pH drops, we don't see a high lipogenesis. Acetyl-CoA carboxylase will have a lower production, fatty acid synthetase, SCD, different enzymes involved in lipogenesis will not perform very well, okay? So because of that, and I have a study showing that I published in Meat Science in 2017.
Okay.
And it's very interesting because it's the same effect that happens in mammary gland of dairy cows. It's the same effect published by David Combs 20 years ago, but it's the same process.
Okay.
So we showed in our study that the rumen pH is very important. If you regulate the rumen pH,
yeah.
you not have problem with the transcription of fetters, and also you don't have problem with the uptake of fatty acids from the blood vessels to the cells.
Okay.
And so you can use different strategies to try to keep the rumen pH in a good level. For instance, you can use large particle size of your forage, different additives. I just submitted a paper for Meat Science using a blend of magnesium oxide, try to evaluate the effect of magnesium oxide compared to monensin and see difference, because for instance in Europe monensin is not allowed.
In Brazil
there is a discussion about the use of monensin and different antibiotics. So you can use different strategies to maintain the rumen pH in a good level and the effect is of intermuscular fat.
That's really interesting. And I hadn't thought about, you know, you're exporting a lot of beef out.
Yes, everybody knows that when you increase a lot the energy of the cow diets or concentrate,
yeah,
the milk fat decreases, okay? There is a lot of information about milk fat depression, but people usually don't know how is the mechanism. And then the literature shows for us that the mechanism is the gene expression regulation. And we found that the same mechanism that happens in mammary gland happens in intermuscular fat in bovine muscle.
Well, I want to go back. So at the start of this question, we were talking about feedlot nutrition and marbling and marketing and things. And you said that Brazil doesn't have a, for lack of a better term, a grid that producers are paid by for higher quality beef. Am I understanding that correctly? That they don't get more money if they have high choice beef or prime beef than they would if they get select.
The packing plant pays more for high quality beef, but
right,
we don't have a official program. So the producers need to, how can I explain? It's a little bit hard to explain. But for instance, in the United States, a producer will sell a lot of animals for the packing plant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they will be slaughtered there. And some of the USDA or the packing plant will evaluate the carcass, and they say, oh, this carcass is select and this carcass is choice.
Right, yes, yeah.
And there is a price for select and choice, okay? And someone say which is the carcass. In Brazil, we don't evaluate the carcass. That's the question.
Okay, gotcha.
We don't evaluate the carcass. And so because of that, we don't have a price market about the choice or select. So we just have one price.
Okay.
The standard. Okay?
Yeah.
The standard carcass. And what producers need to do, they need to negotiate with the packing plant. Oh, come here. I have my animals. They are Angus Nelore crossbred steers. And they are castrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they will produce a high quality beef, a lot of marbling.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are you going to pay for them, for me?
Right, yeah.
Okay? So there is no market price.
I understand, yeah.
And some packing plants, they have specific programs. And when the producer can go to the website and see our JBS, for instance.
Yeah.
JBS pays around 20% more for Angus beef with maximum 2 years age of the regular or the standard price.
Yeah, yeah.
But Marfrig, another packing plant here, can pay 10%. And small packing plants, they don't have a specific program. You need to negotiate every time you're going to sell.
Okay.
That's the difference.
I appreciate that clarification because I was confused on what the benefit to producers would be to adopt fetal programming or adopt, you know, better feedlot nutrition if there wasn't any, you know, increase in payment. So I appreciate you clarifying that because I was having a hard time.
Yes, they have a premium. They have a premium. They are going to receive more, but it's not regulated by the marketing like United States.
It's time for our famous three. Virbac, committed to growth. As fellow cattle professionals and veterinarians working with herds around the world for over 50 years, we know the challenges you face in the unpredictable world of caring for cattle. That's the Virbac difference. Whatever your herd size may be, we offer a new approach to cattle health, one driven by passion, knowledge, and genuine understanding of your needs. Our products are backed by on-farm research to ensure they help you thrive in the real world. In everything we do, we are dedicated to supporting you and the well-being of your cattle for generations to come. For more information, visit vet-us.verbac.com/cattle or see your Virbac representative. Virbac, committed to growth. For information, visit vet-us.verbac.com/cattle or see your Virbac representative. Virbac, committed to growth. As fellow cattle professionals and veterinarians working with herds around the world for over 50 years, we know the challenges you face in the unpredictable world of caring for cattle. That's the Virbac difference. Whatever your herd size may be, we offer a new approach to cattle health, one driven by passion, knowledge, and genuine understanding of your needs. Our products are backed by on-farm research to ensure they help you thrive in the real world. In everything we do, we are dedicated to supporting you and the well-being of your cattle for generations to come. For more information, visit vet-us.verbac.com/cattle or see your Virbac representative.
Well, we have talked about a lot of your expertise. We've come to the part of the podcast, though, however, where I ask the same questions of every guest. So I did, to our listening audience, I did give Dr. Ladera a heads up. That's what I'm looking for. A heads up on these questions. So he's not being caught off guard with these. So the first one that we ask of everyone is your favorite beef or cattle related resource. It can be a book, a website. I have had podcast guests say that their partner was their best beef related resource because their partner ran the genetic side of the business and they ran like the business and data and accounting. So it can be any beef or cattle related resource that is your favorite.
Well, for me, the best book is the Nutrient Requirement Beef Cattle.
Okay.
The old NRC, now is the NASEN, people used to say. For me, is the best book. It's very good for undergrad and grad students. And I like it a lot as they changed from the older NRC for the new one. Now is a book and can be used for the academic students, okay? And also I love to read the Journal of Animal Science.
You probably won't be surprised to learn that you are not the first or probably not the last person to say the nutritional requirement for beef.
I have had
people say that one before. My husband is a swine nutritionist and he has the swine version of it. And it's a big blue book, and our audience can't see my hands right now, but it's, you know, it's like 3 or 4 inches thick. And I actually got it for him for Christmas one year. So you animal nutritionists really love your nutrition manuals and guides like that. So
yeah.
That's great. Okay, so the next question is, what is your favorite non-beef or cattle-related book or one that you are currently reading?
Well, I'm not sure if it's not related with beef, but I like Meat Science Journal also.
Okay.
I produce a lot of papers in Meat Science. It's not a production, but I used to publish there, and it's a very good source. And also, I like different literature books, different novels, dramas. They are very good.
Yeah. Okay. Which maybe can you share with us one of your favorite dramas or novels that you like?
I love the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, okay.
I love the books and also the movies.
I haven't seen the movies or the books, but Tom Hanks is such a good actor that I really should see the movies.
Have you seen the movies or the book?
No, I haven't seen the movies.
Well, try to do the Da Vinci Code. It's very nice. Very nice.
I'll take your word for it. I have a note in my phone that is, it's just called, I'll show it to you. The audience can't see it, but it's just a list of movies to watch. It's very long, but I'll add Da Vinci Code to it.
The problem is the movie is not so good as the book.
Well, I think, isn't that the way that all books that have been made in the movies is that the book
is... Yeah, Da Vinci Code, the movie compared to the book is, it's not good.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I cannot say it's terrible, but it's not good as the book, okay? But the other moves are very good.
Okay.
The Da Vinci Code is not the same.
Well, I'll have to read the book then and then watch the movie, and then I can form a sound opinion about it.
Okay.
Okay. So our last question of these kind of rapid fire ones is, when you think of someone you admire or look up to, what is a characteristic they have possessed that has led them to be successful?
I would say that they need to be committed with the work or with the science. My advisor during my master and during my PhD students, both advisors, they were very committed with the animal nutrition and animal science, and I learned a lot with them. I think it's the best thing we need to do. You need to commit it with the science, but also I can say that you need to be committed with your students.
Mm.
Sometimes people just look at the science and let's publish to produce more papers, and sometimes they forget about the students. The students is, I'm a professor, so I'm here because of them. And my goal is that my students will be better than me in the future.
That's great. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah. Well, that is all the questions and time that we have for today. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast here, Dr. Ladera. Do you have anything that you'd like to add to wrap up? Is there anything we didn't cover that you want to share with our audience?
Oh, first of all, thank you, Brent, so much for the invitation again. It was a pleasure. We had a very good conversation here. And I apologize, my strong Portuguese accent.
Don't apologize.
For me, it was a very nice conversation. And we learned a lot in Brazil with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can say, in 2013, I brought Dr. John Schoomaker, who was supervising me at Purdue during my visiting scholar program there. And I will not forget the phrase that this Dr. Schoomaker said for me. We spent 1 week, 10 days visiting different feedlots. And Dr. Schoomaker said, you are not behind the United States in feedlots. And I love it, that statement. And so we increased it a lot because we start to use more technology. And we learned a lot with the United States. And now I think we can produce science in high quality level. like United States. Maybe that is one reason that we have a lot of Brazilians faculties in the United States right now. I have different friends in different universities there. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure every time talk about beef with people in the United States. And next year, I'm going to be at University of Florida for 1 year.
Oh, great.
And we can talk more. Yes, I'm going to do another sabbatical study.
That's great. And now that you mention that, I do feel like I have interviewed on the podcast quite a few Brazilian-born professors who either are in Brazil working or have come to the United States and are working at various universities. So I do think that that's very accurate. I believe that what you said about like the Brazilian and American beef relationship and things like that.
Yeah, we have good collaboration with the United States, and I think this exchange about information and science was good for both, for United States and for Brazil.
Yeah, I certainly agree. That's I'm glad you brought that up. So, well, if our listeners have any questions for you, or they want to learn more about our discussion today, or your research programs, or fetal programming, or anything, where can they do that? You know, if they want to contact you, or they want to find you on the university's website or something, this is your kind of your chance to plug your platforms, I guess.
Okay, they can contact me with by email, mm-hmm. and also they can find me in Instagram. Is my name Marcio Ladeira. It's easy to find, and also in the LinkedIn is Marcio Ladeira. I'm not using Facebook anymore, but email, Instagram, or LinkedIn are
okay.
They can email me and keep in touch with me.
Thank you so much again for being on the podcast with us. I really appreciate your time and sharing your expertise and your insight in the beef industry. So thank you very much for being here. And to our audience, thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week. And we will meet you back here on the Beef Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.